I want to talk to you today about labels. Okay? I want to talk to you today about labels. So, I want you to watch this short video that I think really captures, this short video that really captures the idea of how labeling sometimes is not a good thing. Okay? Okay, hold on. Let's go back and let's do that. Captures the idea when we see people, we tend to label people, okay, and oftentimes those labels are not really appropriate, not adequate. They don't really capture. How can you capture a person with all of their richness and all of their complexity in one word? You can't, unless the word is like awesome or something. But you really can't, because there's so much to people. So many dimensions. And so I want us tonight to understand from a biblical example how Jesus dealt with labeling. I want to show you what the problems are with labels. And then I want to talk to you about how we can label ourselves. As that video says, if only we could label ourselves. And how we can do that from a godly perspective. I think it'll give us a lot of insight into who we are and what we're worth. Because labels have a way of really hurting us, especially bad labels. Especially labels that we carry on. I was listening to a program on the radio just today about labeling. And I said, wow, what a coincidence. And this guy was talking and interviewing people, and he was talking about when he was in school, and he was in elementary school, and he was a little chubby. And so all the guys would take off their shirt in PE, but he wouldn't. Because he took it off once, and somebody made fun and labeled him as a chubby person. And he was telling this, and he was saying that to this day, he remembers who said it, where it happened, it marked him. And labels and names like that, they mark you for life. The power of words to shape our mindset, our idea of ourselves, is you cannot overstate it. Words are very powerful. They can be very edifying, or they can be very destructive. And so labeling is one of those really tricky things. So to look into this a little bit more biblically, to get a good, solid biblical foundation, we're going to look at a story in the book of Luke where labeling happened and Jesus interacted. And we're going to get the idea, I think, pretty clearly from that. And we're going to see that, sadly, most of the time when we label people, we label them in a bad way. We don't usually label people with good adjectives. You know, I can't tell you how many people I call idiots all day long. And I label them as idiots because I'm driving and their driving is not what I think it should be. And then I stop and I think, wow, I don't know anything about that person, nothing. But I'm calling them an idiot because of the way they're driving. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe something has happened to them. Maybe they're not feeling well. And you start to think and you say, wow, it's so easy for us just to label people. We have to fight it. We have to fight it. Somebody says something dumb and what comes to your mind? Moron. You know, they're just labels that just, they just come automatically to us. But haven't we ever said dumb things? I know I have. So if every time I say, if I've said something dumb, that makes me a moron, then wow, why am I calling other people morons? Everybody says dumb things sometimes. It's just... We got to be careful with this. And I think this is something that could really help us. And it's extremely biblical. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. If you have it in your Bibles, you can look it up. If not, you can read it here with me on the screen. Luke 7:36 says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she was a prostitute. She was eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, if that's the label people have given this guy, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Okay? There is another label. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. That's cool. I like that verse. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. He hadn't said it. He thought it. And Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Even though Simon is not too sure he's a teacher anymore because he doesn't even realize this is a sinner. Then Jesus told him a story. He said, a man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one who he canceled the larger debt. That's right, said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. The NIV says her great love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said amongst themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So think about this for a minute. What are some of the problems with labels? What are some of the problems with labels? We're going to look at the fact that labels are often untrue. They are often one-dimensional. They don't really capture the complexity of people. They are prejudicial. They usually come with a prejudice of the person speaking or labeling. And oftentimes they are hurtful. Labels are oftentimes hurtful. Thus, they are really unfair and misleading. When you label somebody, it's really not a fair assessment of them. And it's often misleading about who they really are. So let's look at these one by one. First of all, labels are untrue. How many times have you mislabeled somebody? Think about it. I know that in my life there have been people that I have met, and my first impression of them has led me to mislabel them. And then with time, I have figured out, you know what? I was so wrong about this person. So wrong about this person. This person is nothing like what I labeled them. We often do that because we don't know people's hearts. And we label usually very quickly without really knowing somebody. It's very common without even giving it much thought. By the way, we don't like it when people do it to us, though. We don't like to be labeled. We don't mind labeling everybody else, but me, don't label me. That's human nature too there. So let me give you an example to show you how untrue labels can be. It happened to Jesus one time, and in Matthew 16, Jesus is asking the disciples, because he had heard some of the labels going around, and he asked the disciples when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that I am, that the Son of Man is? And well, they replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Boy, they got that one wrong. John the Baptist, are you kidding me? Some say Elijah. What? From the Old Testament, Elijah? And others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Man, they had Jesus wrong. They had him completely wrong. They had him mislabeled completely. And obviously, that's followed up with a verse where Peter labels Jesus perfect. You are the Son of God, our Savior. You are the Lord. And Jesus says, you're right, Simon. And here's the good thing about that label that you just gave me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. It didn't come from you. You know who labeled me? My Father who's in heaven. That's what he said to Peter. You know why you're blessed, Peter? Because what you have just said is not your words. It is God's words. Isn't it awesome to allow God to label us? Who knows us better than God? Now, that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. But you got to understand, when God labels you, he doesn't do it only based on his knowledge of you. He also does based on his grace and based on his love for you. And man, that makes a world of a difference. A world of a difference. So labels are often one-dimensional. That means they fail to capture the depth of somebody. We're all very complicated people. We all have a lot of depth and width. We all have a lot of, just there's so much to us. And so here's an example of one-dimensional labeling. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Episode of Jesus at the well in Samaria asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. Now, this lady had labeled them. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. That's it. Why are you asking me for a drink of water? Is that one dimensional? Was Jesus just a Jew? Was she just a Samaritan? Think about it. Whatever country you're from, are you just a Cuban? Or is there a little bit more to you than where you're from? You're just Brazilian? You're just Mexican? You're just, what are you? Puerto Rican? You're just, you see, what, where you're from is part of your identity, but it doesn't define who you are. It really doesn't. And see, this is where the lady was wrong. Jesus had to overcome the label. Jesus, what? How did he respond to her? He overcame the label. He said to her, you know what? There's so much about me you don't know. He said to her, if you knew who was asking you to drink water, you would ask him for water. What did Jesus say to her? Look, you got me pegged wrong. You got me labeled wrong. You have no idea who I am. And then he goes on to show her who he is. He's a lot more than just a Jew. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And he breaks through that one-dimensional labeling and shows her there's a lot more to me than just my nationality. Labels are often prejudicial. We all have prejudices. Like cultures that are contrary or that are rival cultures, they have jokes about each other. I know like Cubans and Puerto Ricans have jokes about each other. There's like a rivalry there. And the Italians and the Polish people have jokes about each other. You know, they're different rivalry. You know, I'm not sure what all the other ones are, but we all have this concept. If you've heard so many Polish jokes, that, you know, when I grew up, that was like all the funny jokes were Polish jokes. You know, the Polak did this and a Polak did that. It comes to a point where, what do you think about Polaks? They're all morons. Except, of course, they're not. So we have these prejudices. We have these prejudices. We have prejudices based on people's color. You saw the video. The guy raises a label. What would he be labeled of? A black guy with a hoodie. A mugger. That's what he is. A thug. A drug addict. Just because he's black. Just because he's black. You know, we see an Asian person. What do we think about? What's our stereotype of an Asian person? Brilliant. Intelligent. Smart, man. These people are like, wow. Hey, I have news for you. There are Asian people that are not that smart. And they work really hard to learn and become smart. And to, see, we can't stereotype people the way we do by the color of the skin or anything like that. So even in the Bible, we have an example of this. Okay? Look at John. In the Gospel of John, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, hey, Nathanael, we found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. In other words, we found the Messiah. His name is Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And listen to Nathanael's response. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? You see the prejudice there. If you're from Nazareth, you're worthless. That's why labels are prejudicial. A lot of times, we just stereotype people. We put them in these boxes. And everybody that's from that country, boom, we put them in that box. You know, a lot of times we Hispanics are labeled wrong just because we're Hispanics. I remember taking, every year we would take a group of students from Florida Christian, which are mostly Hispanic students, to North Carolina to a camp called the Wilds. And at that camp, it was a leadership camp. We would take like 15 to 18 students to that camp. But there were other groups there. There were usually 200 or 300 young people there. But mostly from North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, that area. Very white, very southern, very, I mean, again, non-Hispanic. Their concept of anyone who spoke Spanish was that they were Mexican. That's the label. So they would tell all of our guys from Florida Christian, oh, you're Mexican? It's like, no, I'm from Cuba. And they said, where's that? Like, they had never heard, where's that? No, I'm from Nicaragua. Really? Like, where's that? Because to them, it just the stereotype was, if you speak Spanish, you're Mexican. You know, and so we got to be careful with that because these labels are very prejudicial. Okay? And they're also hurtful. Labels are also very hurtful. Okay? Watch this. How long will you torture? The NIV says, torment me. This is Job speaking to his friends. How long will you try to crush me with your words? You have already insulted me 10 times, he was counting. You should be ashamed of treating me so badly. What happened? What brought about this outburst from Job? If you know the story, Job has fallen on hard times, real hard times. His friends come to help him, and they start labeling him. This must have happened because you're a sinner. This must have happened because you're lying. You're a liar. You're telling us you don't have any sin. You're a liar. You have to have sin. That's why this would happen to you. And they started labeling him and insulting him with hurting words. You're a sinner. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. They're banging him hard because in their minds, the only stereotype that fits is if you're going through a hard time is because God's wrath is pouring on you because you've been really bad. And here's Job saying, I didn't do anything. And he was 100% honest. He didn't do anything. All of this calamity fell upon him, and it wasn't provoked by anything that he did. So again, labels are very hurtful. And even if people just brush words aside, you know, in that same program I was listening to today, they were interviewing a guy who had been really hurt with labels throughout his life. And he said something. He says, you know that motto or that saying that says that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? He said, that is so not true. He says, I would rather be hurt with sticks and stones because you get cured of it, you're done, and it's over. But words, man, they hurt. They stick with you. They stay with you. I worked with a guy once who was brilliant. He was one of the best salesmen I've ever worked with. He was great at dealing with the customers. He was great at closing the deals. He was phenomenal. But you talk to him, and he thought he was the biggest loser. He just had the lowest concept of me. He thought he couldn't get anything right. His after working for him for several years, in a conversation, it came up, and I said, so-and-so, why do you keep talking about yourself that way? You're just awesome. You're selling. Your customers love you. You're responsible. You know, what's wrong with you? And in the conversation, it came out that his dad would constantly tell him, you're a loser. You're never going to get to anything. You're not as smart as your brother. Look at your brother, how smart your brother is. And his dad would be trying to motivate him to do more. But at the same time, his dad kept putting him down and putting him down and putting him down. You know what? It stuck. He believed he was a loser. He believed he would never amount to anything, and he believed he was bad at everything that he did. Even though he wasn't, he was amazing. Labels have a way of doing that. They really hurt, and they provoke a lot of damage. They cause a lot of damage. So I need to learn how to see myself the way God sees me. Because there's a difference between God, the way God sees us, and the way other people do. What's man's view? The teachers of the law and a Pharisee brought a woman caught in adultery. This is also from the Gospel of John. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone this such a woman. Now, what do you say?" Okay, man's view, what is this woman? A worthless adulteress. A worthless adulteress. She deserves to die. She needs to be stoned to death. She had been labeled as a bad woman. Now, I'm not saying that what she did was not bad. These people were obviously very hypocritical because they didn't bring the guy that was caught in adultery too. And the same law that says she needed to be stoned says the guy has to be stoned too. But for whatever reason, they let him get off the hook and they just brought her. Very hypocritical. They could have easily been labeled as hypocrites. But notice what happens here. She's brought, she's labeled. Now what's Jesus' perspective? After an exchange of words, they leave and Jesus said, straightens up and asks her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more." In other words, you know what? You're worthy of condemnation by them, but I forgive you. You're no longer worthy of condemnation. You can go. Just don't do it anymore. See, when God labels you, he sees the adultery, he sees the lying, he sees the stealing, he sees the drunkenness, he sees our flaws, he sees whatever it is that behavior that leads people to label us as losers or whatever the case may be. But he also sees his ability to forgive you and redeem you and make you somebody new. So he would rather see you as that new creation that he has made you than what the world sees you sometimes. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We have to be in people of integrity. And we have to earn the label of Christian. And let it be a label that we wear with honor and that we represent Christ and his teachings in our lives. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we fall short. And at that point, I would rather be labeled by God than by the world. Any day of the week, even though God knows all of my flaws, I would rather be labeled by him. Why? Because he's going to label me based on his love, based on his mercy, based on his grace, based on his forgiveness. Why? Because I'm a child of his. Because I'm a child, because I've accepted the salvation that Jesus gives us. That's the whole point why Jesus had to come and die on a cross. So he could forgive us. We're not worthy. On our own, we're not worthy. It's only because of Jesus Christ that we're worthy. He makes us worthy. God sees us through him. So how do I see myself as God does? First of all, don't believe the lies of the world. Don't believe the lies of the world that say anything against you that God does not say about you. Don't believe the lies of the world. Look at what Jesus said himself. What is the price of 5 sparrows, 5 little birds? 2 copper coins for 5 sparrows. Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. He says if God takes care of these animals that are practically worthless, why would he not take care of us who are so much more valuable? That verse is just saying, you know what? In God's eyes, you're valuable. If the world has labeled you a loser, they got it wrong. In God's eyes, you're not. You're valuable. If the world has labeled you a hypocrite, there may be moments in your life where you've been hypocritical. But in God's eyes, you're valuable. In God's eyes, you're forgiven. In God's eyes, you're a new creation. God's forgiveness and God's redemption changes our label from used to be to now is a son of God. a precious treasure of God. That's what we are. We need to see ourselves that way. Accept that you're a work in progress. We need to realize that. We need to accept that we are a work in progress. God is not finished with me yet. I can promise you that. I can assure you that. God is not finished with me. There's a lot in me that God still has to do. And very often I remind myself, and I'm reminded by my actions and my attitudes and my thoughts, that, boy, God, I'm not there yet. I really need you to keep working in my life. We all have to come to that point. That's going to help us, because when somebody labels you, and they label you in a hurtful way, and they label you based on your flaws, they're missing a point here, is that God is working to deal with you and to make you a better person. It says it in the Word very clearly in Philippians 1:6. It says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is working in you, and he's going to continue to work in you. And it's going to come a point in your life where it's going to be over. It's going to be done. You got there. And that's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And you know what? Since God already knows it's going to happen, God sees you as that person you're going to be. And that's why God uses us. And that's why God blesses us. Because he sees us as the finished product that he's already developed. We're just in the process of getting there. He knows we're going to get there. He knows we're going to cross the finish line. And he's going to help us cross that line. So in his book, we already won the race. We're winners. Now, we haven't experienced it because we haven't crossed that line, because we haven't gotten there yet. But he already, in his eternal perspective of things, God's not limited by time. God sees us as a finished product. Also, live as God's masterpiece. Live as God's masterpiece, because that's what he says you are. That's what he says you are. Look what it says in Ephesians. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The word masterpiece in Greek in that verse is the word poema, from which we get poem, poetry. We are God's poem. Every one of us is a poem written by God, a masterpiece written by God, designed by God. And that's the way we need to see ourselves. We need to stop beating ourselves up. If you have a low concept of yourself, if you have a bad opinion of yourself, you need to cut it out. See yourself for what you really are. You know who's the only one that wants you to think bad of yourself? The enemy. The enemy, because he's here to hurt us, to kill us, to destroy us. And he will try to make you think that you are just worthless. But you're not. Your value is so great that there's no price to you. Jesus died on a cross for you. That makes you more valuable than anything in the universe. In the entire universe. Think of yourself that way. Think of yourself as God's masterpiece. He's working in your life. Look what Psalm 139 says. Beautiful psalm that we talk about, you know, life. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. It's a beautiful psalm about pregnancy, a beautiful psalm about life being knit together in the womb. See, God, that's how God made us. And that's the intricacy of the fact that we are a masterpiece in God's eyes. So realize that all humans are created in the image of God. We need to do that. Not only when we're thinking of other people, but when we're thinking about ourselves. He says God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, what are the implications of this? The implications of this is that all human beings are image bearers of God. Regardless of color, regardless of gender, regardless of whatever sin they've fallen into, they're still image bearers of God. Even the lowliest sinner trapped in the worst sin possible is still an image bearer of God. Even he, even she has incredible value in God's eyes. Think about it. Think about that. We don't think that way. Find the worst person you could ever imagine, living the worst life you could ever imagine, hurting and doing all kinds of horrible things. And think about this one thing. That person is an image bearer of God, and their value is not based on what they do, but based on the fact that they are God's image bearer. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. They will have to face and respond for what they do. And if they do not seek God's forgiveness and repentance, they will be punished eternally for what they've done. But their value in God's eyes is still great. It's still great. That's why God pursues sinners. We love that verse that says that while we were yet sinners, God died on a cross for us. God chose us before the foundations of the earth. God chose us when we were not lovable and chose to love us. We love that verse, but we don't think it applies to some people. It only applies to us. No, that applies to everybody. That applies to every human being. God's love reaches beyond any lifestyle, beyond any crime, behind any sin. God can penetrate and God can save. Recognize that and ask for forgiveness for the times you've labeled people. Recognize that. If you're labeling people, I have to remind myself of this all the time. I have to shut myself up. I have to rebuke myself, because we all have the tendency of doing this. We have to stop. We really should stop labeling people, especially when we label them without knowing them, especially when we label them unfairly, especially when our labels are hurtful, even if they don't know we're labeling them. Even if they don't know, God knows we're labeling them. We're taking an image bearer of God, and just because he cut us off on the road, we've labeled him really bad. And that does not please God. That's offensive to God. You're labeling another child of his, another creation of his, somebody who bears his image, who he values and wants to save, if they're not saved. If they're saved, you're labeling a brother. And if they're not saved, you're labeling somebody who Jesus died on a cross to save. So regardless, you're offending God when you do it. Get rid of all bitterness, Paul says to the Ephesians. Rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Paul is very clear. Harsh words and slander. Those are, slandering is labeling people. Labeling them falsely. That's what slander is. You label somebody falsely. And half the time, the people we label, we don't even know. So guess what? We're slandering. Because we have no idea, and yet we've labeled them. We got to be careful with this. We have to be more consistent. Be kind to everyone, regardless of their skin color, social status, or value that society gives people. We're not part of society. We're part of the kingdom of God. And we need to see people with a kingdom mentality. And be kind to people. Show them the love of Christ. That's where the power is. Ephesians says, instead of all that stuff we have to get rid of, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We feel blessed because God has forgiven us. Well, we need to think about people that have not yet repented and how blessed they could be if God forgives them. And we need to reach them. Labels are hurtful. They're usually not true. They're one-dimensional. They're prejudicial. There's just so many things that are wrong with labels. We need to be better than that. We need to be better than that. Now, not all labels are hurtful. Some labels are very encouraging. And the Word of God says we are to use those. We need to make our words encouraging to other people. So at this point, I want you to take the label off your back and see how you were labeled. And I'd like you to compare that with your own view of yourself. Help each other take the label off. It's kind of hard. So what I want you to do is compare. Compare what you said about yourself and what others said about you. Just any interesting comparisons. Any interesting comparisons? Anybody want to share their comparisons? What you were labeled versus what you labeled yourself. Anybody want to share it? Yes. Okay, that is true. So,